Welcome to the Good Hard Story Podcast, where we believe that the good story and the hard story can be the exact same story. I'm Catherine Wolf, and I'm a stroke survivor, a speaker, an author, and co-founder of Hope Heals. Tune in here every week for conversations about wholeheartedly living in a good hard story. Join me in this joyful rebellion to the darkness where we discover the treasures hidden in our hurting. Hi, friends. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Good Hard Story Podcast. Today, we are so delighted to have you. This conversation with the amazing Tudda Stabler, our head of resources and co-director of our camp, and the incomparable Jay Wolf, one of the founders and creators of our Hope Hill shop.
I need some jingle bells.
Yeah.
In the background.
Woohoo! Tis the season.
It's me.
Guys, this conversation is our Hope Heals attempt at a gift guide / just pointing you, directing you to what our shop is all about, and just really encouraging you to know more about all the products you're buying. In this season, conscious commerce is super important to us, and we just want to unpack that a bit during this time. So thank you for joining us today.
Tis the season.
Woo-hoo.
And for our audio listeners who may not be able to see, our Catherine and I are wearing Santa hats that are, this is going to be their last season, I think, on this earth. Here's the deal. It doesn't fit on my head either because my head is large. So, but we're still trying to get in the season. We're almost there. Looking good. I don't think these were ethically made either. So we're going to have to get some ethically made Santa hats.
We can look into that.
Yeah. I know. Okay, yeah. That'd be great.
Wonderful.
Tudda, tell us how you have jumped into these wonderful resourcing shop duties. Just give us a little background about that.
Yeah, well, you are the OG shop owner, so thanks. Everything I learned from you. No, I inherited the shop about a little over 2 years ago, and got to continue relationships with some of the amazing shop owners, and have continued to look for other amazing people in our community and across the country that we can work with. And they have an amazing story to tell, and it's amazing that we get to support them. And then other people can learn more about them and their wonderful story as well.
Well, you've taken it to the next level for sure. I remember early on, we having this ministry that is kind of about esoteric, intangible things. There was some sense if we wanted a tangible takeaway for people to connect with and remember maybe what they experienced or the hope that they found or parts of our story that connected to their story. And so we had this shop. I mean, we've been doing it almost since the inception of Hope Heals. I literally remember multiple years being the one who was putting the packages together and trying not to get them lost at USPS. I mean, it's really kind of a sweet memory, and I'm so grateful that it is a memory and not a present reality. And thank you, Tudda, for taking that over.
As we were beginning our formal ministry with Hope Heals, we actually attended the Passion Conference 2012 and 2013, and both of those highly focused on something called the End It Movement, which was all about slavery in our world. Modern day slavery being just this tragic, massive enterprise in our world. Right. And, lost a hat.
That's okay. I can go. In fact, mine too.
Yeah, I give up.
Mine too. I think that was a big light bulb moment about a lot of things. But you think, how am I inadvertently contributing to people living lives that are totally not only just disenfranchised, but literally enslaved in many ways? And that is the reality across the world for people who are making these products. And it's not that big of a jump logically. You're like, wait, if I bought this for $2, like somebody didn't get paid well and appropriately along the way, right? Somebody's losing when I'm gaining. And in the Western world, with all of the resource and privilege and access to money and things that we have. It was pretty striking all of a sudden to be like, I can't unsee that.
Right.
Like, this is totally against everything that I would hope to be about in the world. And even the idea of like stewardship, you know, I think that was redefined for us in this conversation too, because it doesn't always mean the cheapest thing.
Right.
And that's somewhat of the framework that, you know, I think a lot of us would have wanted. Oh, like it's not, you know, we don't want to overspend because that's not good stewardship. We're thinking of it differently now because we're thinking, hey, this is actually an investment. Mm-hmm. And there's a ripple effect when we're being intentional about how we partner with folks who are paying their employees well. When we think about how products that we buy, like how they conserve natural resources, even just all the things, like it's opened our eyes in a really cool way.
What we recognized even as we started our ministry was, if our ministry is going to be about giving true hope, then most definitely any products from our ministry we can't buy from a developing country across the world by child labor, mm-hmm. slap a Hope Hill sticker on it, and sell it in America. That's ludicrous.
So it goes against everything we stand for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can't give American hope at the disadvantage of someone overseas. That's ridiculous. Or right here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. So we made sure that if we're going to put Hope Hill's logo on the product, then it is going to represent hope to the best of our ability. And obviously, we're not perfect at it, I'm sure, but we're trying. And I think that's a part of this entire conversation. It's, of course, no one is going to live a perfectly ethically made life in every product they consume. But how about we try?
Yeah.
And how about we say, hey, let's try to make 80% of what we are consuming something that does not hurt someone else in the process.
Yeah, exactly. Your dollar is your vote too.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality. They're going to make more and do more things when you put money behind it.
Right. So. If you're ordering something from overseas, you have no clue who made it. It's probably a child. It's probably extremely unethically, but like almost every product in our shop, I can almost tell you the name of the person who made it, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And
that's so cool.
Know so many of their stories, what they've gone through, the transformation that they've had. So you realize consumerism, it's not really just about you and what you're buying for yourself, but it's also like how you're impacting and uplifting the other person who made it as well.
So, yeah, it's so personal. And I think too, in our globalized world and our digital age, everything is so disembodied. You know, it's just like, I don't know where it came from, but I it's mine now. And I feel good about that because it's about me,
exactly.
You know, and just this idea of returning to our personhood, our communal, global brother and sisterhood. I mean, that's like, it's so healing and powerful, but it requires some thought and tell us, Tutta, like on the flip side, what are the challenges with trying to source, for instance, in the shop or even just shop in general, more ethically, more consciously? What are some of the challenges?
Yeah, well, first of all, if I know that we're really wanting a new necklace in the shop, for example, and I'm looking up like ethically made necklace owners, the first probably like 10 pages on Google are going to come up of shops overseas or somebody that we would not want to partner with. And so there are really, really, really amazing organizations out there who are doing these things, but quite frankly, we just don't know about them. And we can't find them. So a couple of times people have actually reached out to me and said, hey, I work for this amazing organization. We make these products that uplift so-and-so. Like, would you ever consider having items in our shop? And I love when that happens because there are so many people out there that I would love to have more of a relationship with that we just simply don't know them. Mm-hmm. And then the other part that would be the hardest is, well, not the hardest. This is something that's, you know, twofold, but when you're paying somebody a fair wage, that just means your products are naturally going to be more expensive. And so you'll notice like in our shop, like we're at another store, our sweatshirt might be $40, ours is going to be $50. So that $10 bump, while it's not huge, like that is going towards somebody's fair wage. So our products are going to be naturally a little bit more expensive, but nothing too crazy.
And some of the lead time too might be longer,
exactly.
Obviously, you know, in general, like fast fashion versus slower, you know, real conscious creating and making of things.
Exactly.
It just makes sense. But that is harder when you're trying to keep inventories and I don't know. We hold like most things we talk about in this ministry and life, you kind of hold those tension.
Exactly.
You know, of longing. But also realizing there's some complications or issues, but it just reframes everything.
Oh, for sure.
One organization told me when I was trying to purchase products from them, they said, we need you to know from the get-go, you won't receive these products for a year, but because before we are a shop, we are a rehabilitation program first. And we were like, wow. Absolutely. That's what we're here for. Like, we can wait a year.
That's amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And in general, Tada, I think you could speak to the fact that specifically every product in our shop is chosen, not just because it's ethical, but because there's mission behind it.
Exactly.
Many times it is rehabilitation settings or dignified work for largely women who are in positions where they need work to provide for an income for their families. And that is kind of our ethos at Hope Hills. Even in our new coffee shop concept, men, there will be an element of dignified work for people with disabilities. That is the same heart, of course, as our shop is. We can dignify people by giving them work. That has been such a big thing for me. Being in the disability world has meant the assumption from many lawmakers, let's just leave it at that, would be, if you don't have to work, of course you don't want to work. And I argued pretty loudly at one point to some government people, but there's dignity in work. There's human dignity in earning a paycheck and clocking in all the things that come with work. God made us to work. And we want to dignify that even through our shop and through our coffee shop and through our lives.
Yeah, but it takes organizations willing to create a business model that is harder to make work.
For
you know,
sure.
To say, hey, would you stick with us during this year of production because we are trying to rehabilitate human beings who've been through a lot of trauma and have them also learn the skill and create something that then sustains the business. But that's, you know, that's just a unique thing. So we get to be a part of that, which is so amazing and such an honor. And what's cool is not only is this Hope Hills shop, you know, something that somebody can remember, oh gosh, I heard Catherine speak, or I went to Hope Hills camp, or I have connected to this idea in my story that I needed healing in, and I've got this thing now that is kind of a reminder every day when I put it on. So there's that side of things. Then there's this sort of partnering with these incredible mission-driven organizations side of things and the ripple effect of that and the people that we get to partner with there. And then there is this other notion that Hope Hills Camp, which is, as we've understood, the only camp in the world that is offering this kind of respite community for families, no matter the age, location that they live in, or diagnosis, for free. Part of how we do that and underwrite it is through the proceeds of the shop. So it's kind of this really beautiful win-win, all these different layers, of benefit when grab something at our shop. So, but that's a kind of a hard story to explain to folks.
Yes,
so this is why we're doing this kind of episode, just to unpack a little bit more what our heart is behind it and the opportunity people have when they grab something for the store.
That's one of my favorite things, Kath, when I'm traveling with you and you're speaking at an event and I'm working the merch table afterwards, people will just kind of come and peruse like, oh, it's a sweatshirt. Oh, you know, da, 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 da. And I say, you know, every dollar that we make from this table is going towards Hope Hills Camp. And immediately you see people light up and they're like, well, I'm going to buy one for my sister and I'm buying one for myself. And because they know where their money's going towards, and that makes people feel really good.
Absolutely. And people can really get behind mission-driven things
because
you want to support it. In fact, I would throw it out there to all the listeners of this podcast, a really wonderful Christmas gift is to give a donation to a ministry like Hope Hills. And then when you are writing out like a donation was given in honor, or I'm always happy to do that, friends, to write a donation was given, and then to make a tangible gift for them to open, pair it with a Hope Hills candle or a holding cross or a lovely bracelet or sweatshirt or something. So experience gifts or donation gifts can be incredibly valuable, but it's still really fun to open something as well. So get a twofer.
I love that idea. That's smart. Because we were thinking back on some of our favorite Christmas gifts growing up. A lot of them were experiences, right? And even we moved a couple weeks ago or months ago. It's a blur, obviously.
Yeah,
and I'm like, you know what? We're not doing things anymore. No one's getting any more presents. I don't care about your birthday or Christmas. It's too much stuff. And I just cleaned it out. And so no more stuff. But I think it's kind of nice again, especially when you're a child, to have something open on Christmas morning, especially if it's meaningful. Maybe it's an experience that paired with a little something. I like that. That's a great idea.
Oh, for sure. Tata, what would you say is an easy parable? Parable, you know, like paired with.
Able to be paired.
Able to be paired thing with a donation. What would you recommend?
I would say probably a Hope Heals sweatshirt. Our sweatshirts are,
I agree,
by far our number one seller. We have 6 different colors. They are the softest thing. And I am biased. I do understand that. But I legitimately think it's the softest sweatshirt that I own. And it just says plain Hope across it. So it doesn't say Hope Heals. And everybody, right, needs hope. And so it's just the perfect gift to give to anybody there. Are such an array of colors too, so there's something for everybody.
I agree. I think I have all the colors of the sweatshirt, and it's hard to know what's my favorite, but I am actually very partial to the camel one.
Okay.
And well, I love the pink, I love the stone, anyway. I love the blue. I really love all of them, and that is a perfect gift paired with a kind donation.
Everybody loves it. Yep.
Or not. If that's not in the budget, then just purchasing a sweatshirt is still supporting our ministry and supporting the work of, in a dignified, ethical context, giving meaningful work to people who need it most.
Sweatshirt.
We were talking again.
Sorry. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Jay. I keep cutting both of y'all off.
No, you're fine.
Sweatshirts are like also like the biggest conversation starter. I wear my Hope sweatshirt to the grocery store all the time because it's always freezing in there. And almost 9 out of 10 times people stop me and be like, where did you get that sweatshirt? I love it because it's so applicable to everybody. And so it's really fun because it's just, you get to tell a story every time somebody stops to ask you where you got it from, which is super fun.
We've gotten so many texts of Hope sweatshirts in the wild, literally. I mean,
yeah, seriously.
It's because it's very, obviously it just says the word Hope. So it's not like some crazy, you know, new design idea. But the lettering and kind of the design of it is the same one we've used for many years. So people just sort of know that it's connected to Hope Heals. So it's been really fun just to kind of have people recognize it out in the world. And I love, just what that represents. It's, you know, we've thought, oh gosh, it's kind of, is it trite or cliche? Like it's just, has it been overdone? And it's like, well, people, they're looking for it. We're all looking for it.
Oh,
and
they're
longing to also wear it and sort of embody that in the world, especially just as the world has so many challenges and so many hurts and divisions and struggles, and it feels so universal. And so I think that's why people want to wear that and share that.
Just so many people who have said, like, I'm going in for chemo treatment today and I'm going to wear my Hope sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. Or just, we have so many people have told us stories about that. Or even when you order from the Hope Heal shop, there's a notes section and people think Catherine is filling them, so they write notes as if they're to Catherine, but they're to me. But I read every single one of them, and it's just like note after note after note of like, we're wearing this, I'm ordering this for us all to rally around. My mama, she's getting chemo, she's going to wear this during chemo. Somebody ordered some bracelets last week and said, we're all going to wear this. We're all going to wear these while my husband fights pancreatic cancer. I mean, it's just notes like that constantly of why people.
Oh, for sure. And many do get to me, or many people who I know will send me a text with a picture of a whole family in sweatshirts at the hospital for, a cancer patient. Mm-hmm. Or, goodness, I mean, I've gotten a text before that took my breath away of a dear friend's sister going through a divorce, standing in a courtroom with the Hope sweatshirt on for a custody battle. You know, deep, powerful. They're wearing what they need so deeply, which is hope in those moments.
Yeah.
And it's special.
Yeah, it flips the script too. It's not just consumption. It is about connection. And I love that idea of a whole family, like wearing the same thing. And maybe they're in different parts of the country, but their loved one is going through this really hard thing, but they're kind of standing in solidarity together again. And then the ripple effect is that they're also bringing healing in another part of the world to people they'll never know in this side of heaven. It just, I don't know. I love that. And again, just to say that it's a shop sort of undervalues the depth of it. And it's really profound. We've also have, I think, a little bit of a niche of, again, when folks are going through really hard stuff, it's hard to know what to give. You know, so we often say less words are the best words. So, yeah. but can I make my presence and my you know, grief and my hope for that person known through a little gift? Mm-hmm. And I think we've kind of become this niche place. And I hope for Mend, the coffee shop, that there's going to be a huge retail component that won't just be Mend branded stuff. It will be kind of like, where do I go when my loved one is going through this hard thing or a positive thing. But I think that will be an interesting little niche mm-hmm. that we'll be able to offer. We have this holding cross that Catherine was literally gifted a very similar one when she was in the ICU. And when she was unconscious, she's holding it. It's sort of the shape of a cross, but it's a little bit curved so that it fits in your hand. And, you know, she just would like hold that for weeks and weeks when she was in her darkest times. And so we found somebody actually in Bethlehem, mm-hmm. you know, that takes, I guess it's pruned olive trees, mm-hmm. which again, that's another metaphor that's wild, takes the pruned olive trees. So there's, you know, again, this sort of conscious consumption. They're not just cutting down some random trees, but there's this olive tree, which is kind of a nod also to Habakkuk, this verse that's meant a lot to us, that no matter if there's any olive crops or no figs on the trees, we'll still rejoice in the Lord. And so there's just layers to meaning. A lot of what we do too, we just want to have the really intentional layers. And we've seen, you know, folks on their deathbed holding those mm-hmm. crosses that their loved one got them from our shop. So again, just to intersect into people's, some of the worst and hardest parts of their lives and their loved ones' lives is a really, it's a breathtaking honor, even if we're not there in person, but something sort of sent out from us and our ministry. Just it's a privilege to do it. So I love that that's part of what we're going
to
do.
It is a profound privilege to meet people. You know, I mean, I'm sure some people order products for loved ones that are like from the Hope Hill shop that are just doing awesome mm-hmm. and life is great. But for many, it's like, yikes, like they're suffering mm-hmm. and they need some hope. And what a gift. Like, you know, I just think there's something in general with our ministry that is such a blessing of getting to reach into the worst moments mm-hmm. of people's lives. You know, I mean, some people are doing awesome that are tracking with our ministry, but for many, life is not going really mm-hmm. well right at the moment. Nobody's mm-hmm. necessarily winning. It's a lot of down and out and hurting folks, and hurting hearts. And what a blessing to speak into broken bodies, broken brains, broken hearts. That's a gift.
Tutta, tell us, give us a little highlight of a maker that we're working with that folks could actually grab a product from. I know you have really personal relationships with so many, and it's so cool to have that connection of literally knowing, like, I know she made this, mm-hmm. you know. Tell us about... I'm thinking of one in general near you, but
yeah, I mean, we have amazing vendors or people that we work with, and we're so fortunate to work with them. But one who's like super special to me personally is I love working with Prodigal Pottery. They're here out of Birmingham, and they support women who are fleeing homelessness, domestic violence, or sex trafficking. And they are a program who are helping women like rehabilitate. They live on campus. But part of their job is they are going into the pottery shop every day and working. And so we source all of our pottery products from them. That's ornaments, vases, ring dishes, picture frames. But I've gotten to know so many of those women out there when I get to go pick up the products. And they are the kindest, most warming, most welcoming ladies ever. And Prodigal's done a really good job of, they put their money where their mouth is. You know, their goal is to rehabilitate women. And so now the two women who are co-directing the nonprofit, now the shop side of it, are two ladies who have come out of the program who are now getting to be the co-executive directors of the shop. And so it's just been really special to hear. Every time I go out there, they just love to share their testimony with me, just talk about how like the Lord has redeemed their life. And love to tell me like what's new in their lives and what's going on. And so it's just really special to get to know them.
That is amazing. And you could just have that shipped to you. But instead, I know you on purpose go pick it up in person so that you can have that continued relationship. And we've been working with them for years. So that's really...
Mm-hmm. And tell us about the products.
Yeah.
So, Kath, you might want to talk a little bit more about some, like, the idea of kintsugi.
Yeah.
If you want to tell people a little bit more about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, for any listener who does not know, which I feel like would be a few at this point, because kintsugi's kind of hit the cultural lexicon in recent years, but Hope Heals was doing it long before it was cool to talk about kintsugi.
Long before you could get it at TJ Maxx.
Yeah, long before it was available at Home Goods, we were selling it and talking about it. A kintsugi is a beautiful ancient Japanese art of taking pottery that is broken, sealing it back together with gold, and celebrating that it becomes more beautiful because of the brokenness that is mended and put back together. And thus we sell both Christmas ornaments. I don't know if we will this year. We have in prior years.
Oh, we are.
Oh, yeah, we are. And jewelry dishes, like little dishes to put your jewelry in that are stunningly beautiful.
Yes, they are.
And it's true that somehow these broken things put back together are more beautiful than the originals. And so that's the heart behind the product.
Well, and the metaphor is just insanely powerful when you think of these women whose lives have been broken and are being put back together and mended with gold and mended in community and redeemed in so many ways from despair and darkness, that they're the ones literally creating these representations of that.
Exactly.
For folks all over the country. It's really, it's mind-blowing.
Well, and
it's
then
beautiful
to think about the customer who has it at their house. Yeah. And many times the struggle, their unique struggles, and maybe it's a health challenge, but maybe it's a deep relational challenge or a financial challenge. Last night at a speaking event, several ladies talked to me afterwards with things like Hope sweatshirts in their arms that they'd been through some really unbelievably sad stuff that was so different than my own suffering, but it was just such solidarity. Yep. I mean, one woman talked about she finally retired. Her husband finally retired, and basically he died within a few weeks of retirement. They were both early 60s. Yeah. And the loneliness she feels is so intense, but she is believing there's hope.
That's right.
And I'm like, I'm sobbing. She's sobbing. It's so beautiful. And you think when ordering a kintsugi piece and maybe a sweet lady like that lady has it in her house, maybe she feels a little more like these broken pieces can be the most beautiful part.
Well, I see that image of, that golden thread, the sort of the line in the kintsugi that's brought the pieces back together is sort of that picture of hope. We have these different stories of brokenness, and those bind us as humans, but that golden thread of hope is what connects us and heals us and pulls us back together to ourselves and each other even more deeply. So that's what I, when I see kintsugi, that's what I think about. And what other highlights, Tad, in our sort of final minutes here from the shop, or just like recommendations for, you know, the dudes out there? That's always a hard one.
Oh, yeah. What would you say for the men for Christmas?
This isn't just a lady shop.
Maybe a lady should pick up for a gift for a man.
Yeah. No, we are 100% for the men as well. Don't you worry. We have three different hats that we sell. They're all trucker style hats that are all super, super popular with men and women, but we're hitting on the men. We have
big heads welcome.
Big heads welcome.
Inspired.
Glad you have a place
Thank
here.
Thank you. Thank you. So obviously our candles sort of creating this beautiful environment in our home.
We love candles. We burn a ton of candles around here, probably because we also have two smelly little boys. So we love the thought of candles in the home.
Right. So we've had candles since the start in the shop and poured in the U.S. and all of that. They've been a great partner. We I love all the scents too. And they're all you know, again, they're really thoughtfully storytelling elements too. Like there's a sweet fig candle, again, that Habakkuk verse. There's a Treasures in the Dark candle. They all sort of tell a story and smell incredibly. But again, to the point of being mission driven, we have found a better partner, which includes the story of disability and some of the folks pouring these candles. So we're going to shift our candle company and maybe some of the scents too, obviously, but it's worth, I think, getting behind this incredible company we found. Tell us a little bit about them and then give the last pitch to grab the stock that we have.
Yeah, our candles are wildly popular. So to make a switch in vendor is quite a big deal because they are so super popular. But starting in the new year, we will switch to this new vendor. They're called Light for Life. And they are just an amazing organization as well out of California. And they do several things in their organization. But one of the things they do is people with disabilities, they employ them and they're helping pour the candles and prepare those. So I just couldn't think of any other way we would want to spend our resources. So we're going to be going with them in the new year. Some scents will be the same. Some scents will change, but I can promise I have all of the samples sitting in the office with me. They are all absolutely fabulous and will be well loved as well.
Can't wait to burn those in our house.
Absolutely. Our prayer, of course, when folks are burning a candle based on just kind of a Hope Hills-ism or something that we love to talk about, like that precious passage in Habakkuk or that amazing concept from Isaiah or even just the Hope Hills camp candle and anchoring the soul. All of our candles, we pray, will, as you smell that good smell, remind you of a deeper truth to encourage you in your story that whatever it is, that there is treasure in the darkness, that you can rejoice in the Lord no matter your situation, that there is an anchor for the soul that is firm and secure, Hebrews 6:19, that those candle choices, names, scents actually will be something that reminds you of a deep truth you may not believe in that moment. May feel like a lie, but you're still burning that candle and putting your stake in the ground of hope.
Well, scent, is the scent is the strongest connection to memory, right? So I think sometimes, when we can't even feel in the present moment these things, maybe it, you know, even something as simple as a scent brings us back to the end of the story that we might have forgotten, but that we know back in there. So thanks, Tutta, for everything. One last update that's really relevant that we are going to be sharing a lot more is that Hope Hills Camp is expanding to a fourth week. And it's, you know, it's a community that's changed our life. And we can't believe we get to be about setting the table for what God does in those sacred spaces. But, you know, we've always just kind of, we've maxed out pretty much at 3 weeks. This past session, we had 1,600 participants from 40 states in the UK and Canada and France. And I mean, it's wild. It's amazing. But you know, we have hundreds of people on the waiting list. We don't even market it. So we've kind of taken that next step of faith to expand into a fourth week to make a bigger and better table, so to speak. And yet we, you know, we're taking on some of the cost of what that will look like. And so again, the shop is what will help underwrite some of that. So we're so hopeful and grateful for all these partners. Again, folks will probably never know in person this side of heaven who have made this community happen. And again, the ripple effects are profound.
Thanks
for being a part of that.
I want to clarify for our listeners that we're expanding to a fourth week, but it's actually going to be on the front end. So our expansion will be into the first week of July, running for the three subsequent weeks after that. That's first week in July. So it'll be July 4th will be the first week of camp. We'll celebrate that special holiday together, no doubt, with a fabulous festival, parade, celebration.
And come join us. Maybe you want to gift your loved one tuition to come volunteer at camp and give them a little
gift idea.
You know, we can't do without a slew of volunteers helping be this sort of one-on-one companion and creating hospitality, creating the logistical, incredible logistical needs and challenges at camp. It takes this beautiful village. So maybe you wanted to come, but it's never been your year. Maybe this is your year.
This is your year, yeah.
Or send your college age son.
What I thought you were going to say with the big news is that with the opening of Mend Coffee and Retail, we will be having an entire fabulous department of the shop dedicated to what I like to call the Care Package Collective, where people will put together custom curated care package goods to design a perfect package to drop off to a neighbor, maybe mail to a friend who is significantly needing tangible hope. So the Care Package Collective will be coming to Mend Coffee and Goods.
A lot going
on.
So
you definitely need to go ahead and prep that this is going to be the market of all markets to meet every need. Come get the goodies to give your family and friends.
That's good, Kath. That's good.
What she said. I think that's it's been the market of all time.
Here we go. No pressure. It has been a dream for years to have this. I love the factor opening a coffee shop. So cool. But the heart for Catherine Wolf is to have a space to collect all kinds of little goodies to give to people who need some hope. I'm kind of a crazy gifter of things like our books, really actually anything and everything. And I'm a huge food pusher, actually. So there definitely will be some gifty food item available to take. And I just, I don't know. I'm very drawn to like the giving of gifts, not like you, where I'm really good at gift giving necessarily, but I just have a deep desire to like, maybe just share with others and make them feel seen and loved. So, yeah,
love made tangible.
Love made tangible.
And love made edible. But the reason we're able to do that is because, Tutta, you've done such an amazing job making this
absolutely
space so intentional and so beneficial and such a mission-driven, important element of what we're doing. So
you're very kind. Come. I didn't come visit start us it, though. Mend. I inherited it from y'all. So y'all started it. So thank you.
Oh my gosh. I'm having PTSD of trying to like fulfill orders Black Friday in our bedroom.
From our little tiny bungalow in Culver City, California.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, no.
Okay, Todd, at the end of the Good Heart Story podcast, we ask all of our guests, what is good in your story and what is hard in your story right now? And then how do you hold those two in tension?
Last night, actually, I got to go to dinner with my whole family, which has just been sweet because we all just are running 100 miles an hour in different directions. And so we haven't been all of us together in like 10 months. And so we all were able to meet and just spend time together last night, which was really special. And with the holidays coming up, we will just get more and more time together right now. So I'm just thankful for time with my family. But what would also be hard with that is, as y'all know, that my dad passed away almost 3 years ago. And so just physically sitting at a table and looking at an empty seat is just really, really difficult. And so, you know, even dinner last night, as good as it is, you think about those things. And so as the holidays are coming up, that is really hard, but I'm also holding the good that like I get to be with my family and that we love each other a lot. And so it's really special for us.
Yeah. Goodness, Tata, that is so heavy and so hard. And you're right, there is so much good in the fact that the rest of you can gather, but there is such loss. And that is a story so many listeners are going through as they enter this holiday season, is who is at the table, who isn't at the table. And it can be complicated for sure to gather family or to have family that doesn't gather or who's not here to gather. And goodness, we want to love all those people so well, going through so much like yourself of loss and all of it.
And when our listeners who grab something from the shop this Christmas, maybe, you know, the holidays are a time you'd rather just fast forward through because it's just too many reminders and just whatever, pain, loneliness, unmet expectations. But I thanks for sharing that, Tutta, because I think it'll remind folks maybe when they grab something in the mail that the person who whose hands literally touched and packaged this and who read the note and who thought about you is somebody who, you know, who carries her own Good Heart story and grief, but with hope and Yeah. Just thanks for being who you are. Yeah.
We're all in this together.
Love you. We're so for you. That's yeah. right.
We well, love you, Todd.
Well, thanks for being here today.
And we should have said at the top, but it bears saying at the end, that Ann Elizabeth Stabler is actually AKA Tutta, T-U-T-T-A. Mm-hmm. And the way to easily remember how to say her name is with a spicy little sentiment she shared in her interview with Opie Oates, which is, you can call me Tutta. Tada like butter. Uh-huh. And we've never forgotten it. It's Tada like butter is still blessing our lives. So we love you.
You are very kind. I love y'all very much.
Thank you for joining us on the Good Heart Story podcast. To learn more about what we are doing, follow us on Instagram at Hope Heals. Check out all things Hope Heals at hopeheals.com. Don't forget to subscribe to this wherever you get podcasts, and please feel free to share this episode with somebody who needs to hear it. Good Heart Story Podcast is a production of Good Heart Story, LLC. It is produced by Leah Case and Mary Austin Hall. And I am your fearless and fabulous host, Catherine Wolf. Come back and join us every week where we believe that the good story and the hard story can be the very same story. We are with you and for you, friends.